FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey loyalty program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom. Now, where did I put that chorus star?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus star?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who fight in disguise!
I guess the video kind of seized up there on the intro. I don't know why it did that. But anyway, as you can see, we are live. TFYLP episode number 307, recorded November 10th, 2018. I'm your host, Ron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Anna Pope. Can you
Hello.
Hear? Ah, there you go. Paul Fremel.
How you doing?
Peter Chavez.
Forever Destron.
And Sean McGinnis.
Hello.
Your audio is still just a little low, Sean, if you can get your gain up just a little bit.
Testing, testing.
That's a little bit better, yeah.
All
right. All right. Today's episode, we're going to be talking about... Oh, now the echo's even louder. It might be from you, Sean. It's the audio might be feeding back. For you.
Let me try a different headset.
Okay. Sorry about that. Anyway, we are live. We are going to be talking today about battle damage and different things with your toys that you may not like. For example, well, we mentioned a few episodes about the battle damage, you know, how a lot of people are really torn on that. Some people don't mind it. Some people love it. Some people absolutely detest it. And for example, if you don't like it and you want a toy that's more clean, less battle damage, then you would be inclined to take some isopropyl alcohol and rub that battle damage off and make it more clean. There's some pros and cons to that. We're going to be talking a little bit about stuff along those nature. I have that exact cup, Sean.
I think everybody does, hopefully.
Yeah, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
This is awesome. I grabbed a few of those.
And we're going to be talking a little bit about that. But before we get into that, let's talk about our Ouch My Wallet. Does everybody have something? I know I have a little something. Paul, do you have something? Cool. You want to go first, Paul?
Sure. I got a guy that I was really looking forward to, the legendary Optimus Prime that comes with all the nice chrome, the upsized evasion mode, if you will. The big rumor about this guy is whether it's going to come out in the Studio Series line or not. A lot of people are saying it's going to be number 30, which hasn't been revealed yet. And it would make a good leader, so... Who knows?
He looks pretty cool.
I also got the, it's great. And it looks really good next to this guy, the masterpiece Bumblebee from the Volkswagen Bumblebee.
I'm not familiar with that character.
Yeah, you ever heard of him?
Hey, will you do a side-by-side with those two?
Sure.
Yeah.
Before I do, though, I also got that Studio Series that comes with Charlie. So I got the little human Charlie to go with him. So, you know, Bumblebee's smaller for sure.
Yeah, that does go pretty good.
But they, you know, they stand side by side really good. I've seen a lot of good Instagram photos of them amidst the webs. So really happy to grab those guys.
Awesome.
Who's next?
Yes, Anna, you want to go second? Eh, no. Your audio is still muted.
You're muted.
Nope. There
with
we go.
Sound effects, I struggle. Apparently technology still eludes me. I just must not use it in every part of my life or anything. That was sarcasm. So, yeah, I don't have a ton of new stuff that I've gotten recently. You know, I have things that I was brought from the convention that most of you all went to, like this little thing. And I have pretty hard caught the Legends bug lately. So I've been getting guys like, you know, the Magic Square stuff.
Oh, yeah. I got to mess with that that exact mold right there. It was really nice for such a small
figure.
This is
my favorite one. Yeah, this one's super cool. I have a thing for the Inferno mold anyway, but this one I really like.
I think they recently revealed that they're working on an art fire of that, too. So
Yes, but I haven't seen any pictures to confirm that he has any sort of target master. So if he does have a teeny tiny target master, I'm in. If he doesn't,
what would be the point if they don't have a target master?
Exactly. Now he would be like that big.
Yeah.
So it would be pretty.
Well, you know, my ouch, my wallet, it would kind of go hand in hand with that. But what else did you get?
No, that's really. I'm looking around. Everything else I have is for examples for later. But
okay.
I got I had someone bring me a bunch of the Master Shooter generic target masters they put out for the con as well, which I wouldn't call it an ouch my wallet, but I would call it a cool new thing I got.
The Pride Shooters.
I enjoy them. They're teeny tiny. And they will go very well with today's conversation about figures that you might want to do some finishing work to before you display or otherwise do anything with.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Sean, how about you?
Well, I had somebody bring me back something from TFCon. Caught my eye. It's the Fans Project Core Constructo.
Almost and has a Build Tiger vibe to it.
Yeah. I mean,
it does. I thought that when I saw it.
Yeah, it's really cool because it's no actual Transformer. You know, they just made it up themselves, but it has a really cool kind of weathered effect to it.
Neat.
And it's got some battle damage, little bullet holes everywhere.
It's got battle damage. How appropriate.
That's pretty cool. And they're all individually numbered. Mine's 57.
Oh, wow.
So I wonder how many numbers there really are, but yeah. I just got, you know, the typical stuff everybody has, the Retgar.
I don't have mine yet. I'm waiting on the LG one.
Yep. Just random stuff, eBay, but nothing too major. I got another lug nut, so
that makes me happy. What are you doing with multiple lug nuts? Or you just have a thing for lug nut?
I kind of want to army build him, but he's really hard to army build because you can't find him for a good price. So
yeah, you can find him, but they're 40, 50 plus mm-hmm. bucks a pop, yeah.
Yeah, so if I see one at a good price, I'll scoop them up and put them with the others. I'm kind of rebuilding my Transformers Prime collection. So I sold mine multiple years ago, but I got a bunch off of eBay.
Nice.
So at some point, it'll be complete again, but that's down the road, way down the road. I have sales and stuff to do before that. Next, that's all I got.
All right, Peter.
All right, I was sorry to miss last week's episode. Coming back from TFCon, I bought a pile of stuff, so I'll just give a quick list. I'm not going to show it all off. I got Ocular Max Enmitus, the enemy homage. I got, who's that, Make Toys Bounce Break Stepper. I got, or Bounce Back, I'm sorry. Yeah. MMC Eupatorium. MMC Calissus, LG Blitzwing, some Nonif stuff, some Renderform stuff, just little bits here and there. Four of the Bitty Bots. I got Misfire, you know, the little plush Bitty Bots, the little mm-hmm. cutesy things. These little guys, they're adorable.
I love those.
I got Misfire, Swerve, Galvatron, and Ratchet. What else? Something else. Oh, I got Generation 1 Lander mint in box with his character card and stickers unapplied. I got Getsui from the Train Bots, same condition, character card, stickers unapplied. The little track pieces are on the sprue. Same thing with Suikin, so C-126 and C-128. So those are upgrades for me. I already had the figures, loose and boxed, but character cards, track pieces on the sprue, stickers unapplied, happy, happy Destron. So
sweet.
That was, very ouch, happy. My wallet.
Massive haul is massive.
Indeed.
And there's more coming, but I'll talk about that later.
There's more coming. You know, I didn't. There's one other thing I realized that I still had from TFCon that I forgot about. The key from the podcast that we did in that room, the special key. So I kept it and wrote episode 305 on it. So
nice.
So, yeah, a little memento for that.
Funny.
It's cute.
I've only got two things from Ouch My Wallet. Number one, I got the LG Slugslinger, the Target Master Slugslinger. I haven't sold my US one yet, but I'm in the process of selling it. And then I got the LG one, and then the only one I have left to get is Trigger Happy from the LG series on that one. And then I picked up these guys, and I still had a coupon from Agabus from TFCon that allowed me to get $5 off any purchase on the store. So I went on the store and I got No Minds and Unhappy, the Legends Headmasters. And I don't know which one's No Minds and which one's Unhappy. I'm assuming Ape Face is Unhappy and Highbrow is No Minds. The names
are
don't
really
make sense.
The names?
Yes, they're really the names. Well, the Weird Wolf from Chrome Dome is Tom and Jerry. Snapdragon and Cerebros is Day and Night. I don't know why they named those, but I think they know who. I think they know that we know who they are, so that's all that matters.
So they just make up whatever.
Yeah, they just make up whatever, but. In answer to your question a little while ago, Anna, for your Magic Square Art Fire, if he could come with a Target Master, this little guy, yes, is a Headmaster. And he does have a teeny tiny little Headmaster there. So, but yeah, I love this ape face. So, I mean, his ape mode is amazing. Robot mode is not bad. Jet mode is a bit of a stretch, but you know, for a legend scale figure, I mean, you can't expect every mode to be spot on. The Highbrow, he looks great in both robot mode and helicopter mode. The head actually does fit in the cockpit, which is cool. And same thing for Ape Face, the cockpit of the jet, he fits in there. And most of these guys, if I can. Pull this guy this down. Yes, even have the little tech spec meter on the inside.
They do, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Ape Face, I don't think he does.
I don't think Snapdragon does either. I have him.
Yeah. The Snapdragon's my favorite, though. I love the dragon mode on it. It looks amazing.
It is really cool. I like it quite a bit.
I
plan to get those two eventually.
Yeah, the only set left that they've done from Unique Toys is the Blue Cat and Naughty, which is Brainstorm and Mind Wipe. And I'm hoping to order that probably before December or something of that way. I'll just go ahead and have those guys finished. But I may wait till after Christmas. I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty much my Ouch My Wallet. And then I've also... we've cut cable and went streaming only. And I upped my internet speed, so hopefully that will help in the future with broadcasts here. Hopefully the internet feed will be a lot more smooth, and even more so whenever the computer gets finished. So I still need to get back on that. I've been kind of slacking, I admit. Yeah. So,
someday,
yeah. But it's a pricey computer. It's like $2,000 altogether. So, let's see here. What else was there? It seems like there was one other thing, but I can't remember what it is. Oh, yes. Yes, I remember now. I did pick up some LR920 batteries and put in my Zeta Toys Armageddon, that giant Bruticus. And much to my surprise, they actually have G1 cartoon sound clips in it. How they're not getting C&Ds for this, I don't know. But I'm not going to complain. It's awesome. I have a gigantic Bruticus that says, "I am also known as Bruticus." So, yeah. And those batteries were cheap. It was like a 10-pack for $5 on Amazon.
I wonder if someone should notify Roger Carmel's family that they're using his voice in products that are out on the market. You know?
Hope not. In a way, I hope they do and I hope they don't. That would be both good and bad for the fans, you know?
Well, you already have the toys, so you're good to go.
Yeah, but I mean, it may kill future toys that would have the same kind of feature.
I mean, third parties are going to third party, man. Party it up.
Yeah. Now, I don't think the Devastator has that. I've got the Constructor from Toy World, the head for it around here somewhere. But I don't think it has sounds. It's just got lights. I'm hoping the Zeta Toys Superion actually has voice. That would be cool. Tekatron says he bit the bullet replacing his MP Seekers with a Make Toys one. Yeah, they look great, but I'm already over a grand in on the Masterpiece official Seekers, and I'm like, I'm not gonna start again. No. No, absolutely not. That's too much as it is. You guys have anything that you want to talk about before we head into our main topic? All right. Ouch My Wallet has been brought to you by CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. CapturePrey.com, where you can save even more with your orders of $150 or more, free domestic shipping. Plus, you also have the benefit of Stasis Pod, where you can buy now and ship later and save on shipping. CapturePrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. And if you love what we do here on TFYLP, there's a link up here at the top of the screen. It shows patreon.com/TFYLP. Help us continue each and every month by supporting us with Patreon. You can support as little as a dollar or as much as $100. You know, whatever your little heart desires, that's what you can donate on Patreon. We thank each and every one of you that continues to support us every month. Also, check out Ripped Apparel. You can check out rippedapparel.com. I have great shirts like this and like what Sean is wearing. And I don't think anybody else here on the podcast likes Ripped Apparel at all. So I'm... Paul just sits there and looks at us blankly. you can also save at Ripped Apparel by using the promo code TFYLPPOD. Save 10% on your order at Ripped Apparel. All right.
Sorry, I missed the joke. It froze on me, so I didn't know what you said.
Oh, I said Ripped Apparel shirts like mine and like Sean's, and I said I don't think anybody else here likes Ripped Apparel at all.
Oh, yeah. Not at all.
So
I know him.
Battle Damage. I know this can get to be a somewhat heated topic, depending on your viewpoint. I'm going to throw this out there for the live viewers. What do you think about Battle Damage? What do you think about toys that need to be altered in some way, shape, or form? And how did you get Hound already? Jeez.
Sneaky.
Sneaky. That's all right. I have bots on the way, so.
Do you?
Yes. Yes. Somebody sent me a link to the Amazon. Yeah, somebody sent me a link to the Amazon listing for them that isn't showing up if you search for BotBots or anything. But if you have the direct link, you can actually order them. And I got the shipping notification right before we went live. So, yes, I got the toilet patrol on the way.
So jealous. Those guys look awesome.
Yes.
To me.
Listeners out there, viewers, do you like battle damage? Are there things about toys? Like, I'll use another example of altering your toy to make it something that, or make it fit the way you want it to look. Remember Alternator's Sideswipe? A lot of people would cut a notch in the back panel that would normally be the backpack for Alternator's Sideswipe. Well, they would switch, turn the whole body around and cut that notch to where it would sit lower and actually look more like the car hood on G1 Sideswipe, even though it was actually the trunk on Alternator Sideswipe. But it would actually require cutting the plastic on the toy, cutting a little square of plastic out. Some people absolutely are against that. Some people don't mind it. Shaving parts off of toys. I'll admit the X-Transbots skids. I forget his third party name right now. Savant. I trimmed those little nubs on the windshield just to give it a little more play because it was way too tight. It was scary, scary tight. So I trimmed them down to where they're barely even there. And I don't feel bad for doing that because I don't want to break my toy. I see this as a means to prevent breakage rather than defacing my toy. But there are some people that would see that as defacing it. So I'm asking you listeners, what do you think about it? What do you do to your toys? How do you feel about battle damage? And then while you guys are thinking about it, maybe talking about it online, let's see here. Who wants to go first? Who wants to say their thoughts on this?
Well, this was Anna's idea, the topic, so I think she should jump in and give her opinion first.
Absolutely.
Thanks for volunteering me. I appreciate it. It's very helpful.
You've been voluntold.
You've been put on the spot.
So my biggest consideration myself is just that there's like all these little alterations people talk about, like you were talking about with that side swipe, and I can't remember. There's one that people do for MP tracks as well that's pretty common to like make him look better in some way that I've seen people trying to sell used ones. And people who see it for sale once it's used are like, well, you know, it's been ruined, so I want to pay like $10 for that MP figure. Whereas it's really still, you know, it looks the same in every mode. It just has this like notch cut out of it or whatever they do in the back to make it set more flush. So that's kind of been my concern, is just before I make any of those changes, do I really want to take the chance of destroying the resale value? Because you're basically turning it from a like perfect figure to a like perfect only for the people who want that specific mod and ruined for everyone else figure. Which, what I've heard from buying a house recently, is that most people don't think it's a good idea to buy something that is obscure and strange and you only like because you're quirky. So I'm always really nervous about that, about getting those, like, either buying modded figures or modding them myself, even if it does make them better to me. Like you said, it ruins them to other people.
And some people are really anal about things, you know. For example, I've sold a third party figure before, and somebody received it, and they were upset that I had applied Reprolabel faction insignias on it. And I'm like, peel them off; they don't hurt it. Yeah, you know, it's like, really. But yeah, they were upset that and that's the only label. I'm not one that would get like upgrade sets and put full repro labels on my third party figures. I just don't do that. I see an appeal to it. And that actually leads into something else that we can talk about a little bit later. I want to kind of foreshadow that, you know, doing upgrade sets on things. But I just don't upgrade set my third party figures. It's like these little guys here. This highbrow, as you can see, I applied little Autobot insignias to his shoulders. That's it. you know, I wanted to
villain.
Yes, I just wanted to give him his faction, you know.
You've I don't even want to look at it anymore.
Yeah. It's just wasted plastic. Wasted plastic. Gross. But, you know, it surprises me what people would consider modding a toy, just applying a few faction symbols. What do you guys think about that?
Modding a toy can be any number of things. It can be buying third-party, you know, upgrade gun kits. It can be mistransforming the figure, repro labels, cutting the figure, wiping paint off the stupid thing. Anything that you do that isn't part of the instructions, despite the instructions being wrong often, is
if you can
modding
read
the toy. Yeah, if you can read the instructions and figure them out, if they're done right to begin with, that's modding the toy. So, I mean, I got this is a modded toy. My who's this guy? Counterpunch?
I forgot about getting those. Yeah, Punch, Counterpunch. Yep. Yeah.
I have the shoulder mod done to him, which is reversing that little bit or whatever. He's got the non-F gun. The Autobot one plugs on his back so you can store it. That's pretty cool. This is a modded to hell and back toy. It could be ruined by someone's standard. I don't know. To me, though, now he's pretty much perfect. So, I don't know.
That figure, to me, is interesting because people, like when it first came out, people were saying you had to do a like slight mod to it out of the box to make it any good in the first place, which I found really interesting because a lot of people that I was seeing posting online were saying things like, you know, I'm out. If I have to do a little mod to make it transform, I'm going to cancel my pre-order. I'm not buying that toy, which I found really amusing because, I mean, it was a very slight thing that I've been too lazy to do myself. But, you know, I've heard it's easy.
For that figure in particular, it's kind of a mixed bag. Like, some people didn't have an issue with it. Mine wouldn't close up in car mode at all, without me flipping those doodads around. As soon as I did that, he's fine. But... you know, your mileage may vary.
So what do you think about those non-F guns? I love them. I think they're spot on. Just the right size.
Mm-hmm. I love the look of the guns. They look right. They fit. I mean, he even like made sure to mold to account for the forearm where the forearm meets the wrist. So it sits nice and flush. For the Autobot side, it's not going to be able to pick up on camera, so I'll just describe it. There's a seam on either side. Where, you know, it's injection molded, so there's a seam. So I'm going to have to sand that down a little bit. And there's a little bit of flashing on one corner where he snapped it out of the mold. And
you're going to mod your toy.
I'm going to mod the mod. I know, it's rough. So,
yo, dog, yeah. I hear you like mods, so we're going to mod your mod.
Mod your mods, so you can mod while you mod. Yep. But, again, this is, I mean, for a $10 upgrade, I love his work. I have almost all of his pieces. They're wonderful, and they really do complete some of these figures.
The Dinobot weapon set's probably next on my list.
Those are a little bit sharp, from what I've heard.
Are they?
I don't have those ones in yet, but yeah, they're a little bit sharp. So watch the corners. That's all.
I'm mainly concerned about the rifles. I want the rifles, although I will get the swords too. But just giving Swoop his little bombs and everything. It just would make those toys look more complete.
Complete.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sean, what about you? What are your thoughts on modding?
Well,
Mr. Modified Ninja.
Yeah. As long as it's done tastefully, I mean, it's one thing, but whenever you put Sharpie, everybody at home, this is an RC. She's hard to find for,
giving us a crotch shot of Prime RC. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, they painted her gun with Sharpie, and they painted her thighs with Sharpie, but they said nothing on the sales post. But yeah, I mean, as long as it's done tastefully, it's one thing. But if you just wing it and ruin it, that's another.
So that's something you purchased that was modified.
Yeah. is modified and you know not mentioned in the post. So
how did you feel about that?
When it was revealed. Yeah, that wasn't fun. It's something for everybody. If you're looking for a figure that's just, you know, the way it came out of the factory, I mean, that's one collector. Or if you're into changing the colors and the stickers and all that, I mean, that's another kind of collector, so to each their own.
Yeah. Paul, what do you think about modding your toys?
Well, I don't want to be a fun killer or anything, but I really don't. I'm not into it much. Like, I've done a few part swaps and, like, unscrewing parts. Like, the whole counterpunch debacle that we were discussing, that was kind of an interesting thing that swept the fandom for a few days. You know, there were people that were, don't do the mod, and other people were like, no, you're supposed to do the mod, and it's mistransformed, but really no one knew the answer. There were, like, two factions. Me personally, I mean, actually, that seems like a mod that was just an assembly mistake. You should probably do that if you want. But, like, I don't, games, do whatever you want with your toys until you try to sell it. Because, like, as Sean was describing, like, he kind of got a mixed bag when he made a purchase and it wasn't revealed to him. And I think someone, maybe Rick or someone in a previous podcast has said this, that it's just, you need to disclose these things if you're going to resell them. And for a lot of people, reselling your toys is a pretty common occurrence. So if you're going to be modding them at the same time, you just got to be careful.
Peter's never sold a toy.
I've sold toys, but not in bulk. No.
My only caveat to that would be, like I was talking about third party toys. I would almost expect if I bought a third party toy from somebody that it would already have a faction symbol assigned to it. And like I believe it's Techatron that said earlier in the chat here, he bought some toys from me and they already had the faction labels. Yeah, I bought some third-party stuff from Duran, and it had Reaper label faction symbols on it. My first reaction was, great, I don't have to use my own. So, and that's the way I would look at it. You know, if I got a third-party toy from somebody, already had the faction symbols applied, I would be happy. You know, the only time I would actually take those off and maybe put my own on is if, for example, Fans Toys Quietus. I've got the outline Decepticon insignia on him. Some people may not like that. Some people may prefer like the raised one or just a straight up purple one or the silver lined one. You know, I can see, you know, changing the type of symbol on it, but you know, I would almost expect third party toys to have some kind of insignias applied to them. But like Sean had, if I got a toy that had been painted or modded in some way and it wasn't told or wasn't in the item listing, I would have been irate. Example, Masterpiece Thundercracker that I got in about a month or two ago. I don't know if you remember me mentioning it on the podcast. I got a Masterpiece Thundercracker, thought it was a great deal, complete for $80. I got it in and, you know, most of the parts were there. The little pilot was missing. Not a big deal. I don't care about it. The little pilot was missing and the little, missiles were missing, but the arm lasers are there. Don't mind the missiles. But someone, the guy that I bought this from, he claimed that he had got it in a lot, and he was just breaking up the lot and selling the lot. He didn't inspect the toy. Well, I don't know why, but somebody, whoever had owned this before, had glued the freaking canopy to the waist to where he was forever locked in robot mode. I cannot for the life of me fathom why someone would do that. The canopy was glued.
Sweet mod, bro.
Yeah, it was. I mean, he could transform otherwise, and then whenever I went to transform the canopy, I'm like, the hell? And I looked, and yeah, there was like glue all around like the inside. It's like the, you know how you can separate the seeker waist up, or the, you know, the canopy up. And you got the inside of the waist. They had applied glue to the inside of the waist and then pressed it down and let it dry.
This hurts my brain.
Yeah.
No. That's a big...
I was furious. Yeah.
I mean, this is why mint and sealed box is a term that matters and holds weight and changes prices, because you know nothing funny has gone on with the figure in its existence, and the tape hasn't been cut. So no one, you know, there's a consistency you expect with a mass-produced toy, and that's what most people want. I like that Anna equated it to, like, buying a house, because there's some parallels there that make a lot of sense.
Yeah. Now, to finish up that story, though, there is a happy ending to it. I was able to chip away at that glue. I was able to free it up, and I was able to get it to transform again. But just the mere fact that it had been glued.
Why? Were you able to get some money out of the seller? Because
I didn't because I was angry, and at the same time, it was a masterpiece seeker for $80. He was already cheap enough, but at the same time, yeah, I probably should have asked for a little money back. But I'm like, you know,
battles. I mean,
yeah,
sounds like you already got the cockpit discount.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd already got the cockpit, yeah.
I will say, though, I can kind of guess why they did it, because that figure does have a little bit of a habit of coming loose when you mess with it. Like, I've closed my toys a lot, so I've noticed that, like, that part kind of pops up and makes his head, you know, go up more than it's supposed to sometimes. So that's probably why they did it. Not that it's a good thing to have done, and especially after you've done it, you shouldn't sell it, but...
Or at least let people know, you know, even if this guy that I got it from didn't know, and he said, honestly, he says it was in a lot of toys. I never even transformed it. You know, he says, I just, got the bag and put it up for sale. He said, I already had a masterpiece Thundercracker. I didn't need it. So he said, I just flipped it, you know, and I wasn't going to sit there and call him a liar, because I have no way of proving that he was a liar. So, and for all he knew, and that's part of the reason why I didn't ask for a refund, but for all he knew, I could have glued the thing and been blaming it on him. So I didn't want to get in, you know, like Peter said, choose my battles. I chose to not fight it. Not worth it. I got, you know, if the toy was completely irreversible, yeah, I would have said, hey. And truth be told, he did offer me a full refund if I sent it back to him. But I'm like, you know what? I'm going to see if I can fix it, and we'll just call it even, you know, whatever. So I'm not going to sit here and say, hey, he totally ripped me off. But yeah, why do that to a toy that's meant to transform? And even though it, you know, some toys do have that little thing, like Anna said, you know, you pick him up and the center part rises up and you don't want it to. I just learned how to pick certain toys up, because certain toys, you got to pick them up a certain way, you know, sometimes you got to pick them up by the shoulders, pick them up by the legs, you know, Fantasy Toys Terminus Giganticus, just to hold his weight, you got to hold him by the crotch. At least I do. You know, he's big and, yeah.
And he likes it.
I can't win that one. The more I was saying, the worse it sounded. So I'm just going to stop there. But yeah. 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 Anyway. So... Let's see here. Antoine Lewis says, you got to wear kid safety gloves on certain figures. Yeah. That's another thing, too. What about toys that you've gotten from somebody that smelled? Has anybody experienced that?
Yes.
It's the worst. Half the time when I buy used figures, they smell like they come from a basement. And it's like, I don't know why that's such a tradition, but they just smell like they've been sitting in a wet basement for like 50 years. And, you know, they're like 2-year-old figures, so you know that isn't true.
And I just, better a wet basement maybe than smoke?
Yes.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I picked up sealed BotCon, the Buzzsaw and Laserbeak 2-pack, and I was happy to find them. The price was right and picked them up. This is 3 or 4 years ago now. Was it 2006? I think it was 2005 or 6. Anyway. And yeah, so I got them and I opened the box, and I was deployed wherever I was, and I came home and I had a whole bunch of boxes to open, so I'm going through boxes, 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 going through boxes.
Getting calendar.
Yeah, I was very excited, and I opened the box, and as I opened, like, you opened it, and it was just like smoke.
Oh,
all in my face.
And I hate, like,
oh, it's the worst.
Cigarette smoke is gone. The worst, yeah.
So I had to, like, I mean, they're sealed, and the toys themselves are still sealed in their little, you know, Fun Pub bags or whatever. But I had to, like, put them out somewhere and let them air out so that the bags didn't smell, so that when I put them in the bin, they would not stink up the rest of the bin. It was awful. Like, I surrounded them with dryer sheets and made them just, ugh. Stinky toys suck.
Now it smells like dryer sheets.
Yeah. I once sold a complete box sealed figure that was somewhat expensive to a guy. And we, like, met, you know, somewhere in town. And I'd had it for years. And I'd been taking good care of it. And he got in his car, and I saw him as he was leaving. He just started smoking casually. And I was like, oh, man, I took such good care of that for so many years. And now it's going to smell forever. It was such a bummer.
Using the dryer sheets is a method I never actually thought of, honestly. I've set mine, you know, out and let them air out, you know, kind of out in a big room or something or other. But you know, I would be afraid to, like, apply anything, even like you said, a dryer sheet, because I would be afraid that would not kill the odor, but add to it. Kind of like, you know, if someone goes to the bathroom and then sprays some Renews It, it doesn't smell like flowers. It smells like shit and flowers, you know,
flowers.
Yeah. So, it's like you're not covering up the odor, you're adding to it. I think my worst was, there was a toy store here in South Louisville, or the Shepherdsville area, and I'd bought a Flash Lyle Convoy from them, and I got it home. You know, it was, I could see all the parts in there. It was locally owned. Opened it up, and the toy, the inside of the box, reeked of pot. I mean, it just absolutely, whoever owned this had to be the biggest reefer head. I wound up getting rid of the toy about a year later, and even though I had owned it a year, had left it sitting out, and let it air out, even opened the box and let it air out, a year later, it still smelt like reefer. Guys, if you own toys and you do pot, don't smoke pot while you're sitting in your toy room.
Don't smoke anything in your toy room. No. Just leave the toys alone. They don't deserve that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't smoke inside, please.
Pet smell is another thing I hear a lot of people complaining about. We have a dog in this house. I don't let the dog in this room very often. And whenever I do, it's not for very long. Whenever I lived in my apartment and I had my cat, very seldomly did I leave the door open and he could go in there, and never did he go in there and use the potty. So there is ways around that. I don't find pet smell as bad, unless a cat or a dog is actually, you could tell if they've actually pissed on the toy.
Well, there are a lot of people that, like, also don't clean the cat box when they should. And so their whole house stinks, and that just permeates everything. You know, you walk into people's houses and you're like, whoa, how many cats do you have? And they're like, oh, I have one cat. And you're like, oh, cool.
Yeah. It smells like you have 20.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The only other smell I've had is, like, there's this certain musky smell when a package comes from China. Does anyone else notice that? Like,
yes.
You got that, like, styrofoam, and it's wrapped with a bunch of tape, and when you open it, it just has this certain odor that...
It's like a smoke. It's like a smoky, musky smell.
That's all I know.
That's the way I describe it. It's like a smoky, musky smell.
It's a ship's belly. That's what you're smelling there. Yep. as it goes across the ocean.
It goes away. It doesn't stick around, but it's just always very specific.
But do you guys consider that modding a toy if you have to clean it in that way, shape, or form? I know Technotron says removing smoking smell, you need to clean off the tar residue off the toy. I don't even know if that would actually work entirely, because once it gets inside the toy...
Cleaning a toy... I don't think cleaning a toy is modding it. I mean, that's just cleaning. That's just something you should do if you need to do it. I mean, dusting your toys, you know, a lot of this, if this stuff isn't in a plastic container, it gets dust. And if you don't dust them often, it's going to be a real problem for you.
Yeah. And sometimes aged dust kind of tends to stick. Yeah. And I've always hated that too, buying a used toy and you could tell it's been sitting somewhere for a long time and it's got dust on it that just will not come off.
You like waste a whole can of air on it, and you've still got to get in there with a Q-tip or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I've gone through several of these. So, yeah. Which I don't know.
I mean, I would say de-yellowing a toy. I've never done it myself, but I mean, I would say that's, you know, worth doing.
I have still yet to try this. I've got it handy, and thank you, Sean, for sending me this. I want to try it.
Tell us what you got there.
This is a hydrogen peroxide gel, I believe is what it is. And I saw the technique from Ronan Kaufman on YouTube. He had several figures, and he would take a toothbrush and apply this gel to it and directly to the figure. Take a soft bristle toothbrush or something, apply it to the yellowed parts of the figure, put it in a bag, and I guess set it in the sunlight like you would like any other treatment. But where it actually has direct contact with the toy, it doesn't damage the toy like straight up hydrogen peroxide would. And the results seemed better. In his video, even colored plastic. I believe he did an ape face or a snapdragon, and where the purple was badly yellowed. The yellowed plastic in the purple was still there, but not as bad. Now I've got a G1 Trypticon where the full tilt is like four shades of purple because of the yellowing. And that's going to be a challenge right there. I'm going to probably need about five of these suckers for that thing.
What's the brand name on that?
This is Rusk Deep Shine. I don't know if you can see it in the video here.
Yep, there it is.
Rusk Deep Shine. I can't really find this stuff in stores. I think you have to go to like hair specialist salons to find it. I even looked on Amazon. Maybe I was looking in the wrong place, but I couldn't even find it on Amazon. So it's kind of hard to get a hold of, and I would imagine it's relatively expensive too. So,
if it works, it works.
Yeah. I've actually heard of people using this, stuff like this on, you remember how vintage, Nintendo and Super Nintendo cases would absolutely turn yellow because of the ABS plastic that they used that naturally turns yellow over time. And I've seen people completely restore video game consoles cases with this stuff. So I'm really interested in giving it a try. I also highly recommend checking out Ronan Kaufman's YouTube video on using the hydrogen peroxide gel. He actually advises against using straight up hydrogen peroxide, if I'm not mistaken. So
I know I had poor results with that, with just straight hydrogen peroxide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got limited results. I've got a G1 Getaway here that had some mild yellowing, and he's not as yellow now. He's not bone white again, but he's getting there. And he's probably the first one I'm going to try on this because I've got some repro labels to put back on it. I'm going to take the original stickers off because they're kind of chopped up a little bit. I'm going to take the original stickers off, apply this treatment to it, see if I can get him as white as I can, and then completely restore him.
I'm surprised no one out there yet has just been like, hey, I'll de-yellow your figures for $20. You know, send them to me and I'll just do it because I know what to do. Like, someone out there, do that. Make some money.
You're an entrepreneur. I will send you stuff.
It will happen.
I'm not a chemist.
I do see something inherently wrong with that plan, because if you mess somebody's toy up, they're going to be pretty mad.
That's a huge margin of error. Yeah.
You can figure it out, you know.
Hey, my Grandis is yellow. Please save my Grandis. Save my galaxy shuttle, and then, yeah, bad times.
Well, as long as you don't melt it or something, you're good.
It's gonna get melted.
Yeah. Techatron,
figure this out.
Techatron says you get best results if you want to limit exposure to air during the process. So if you can wrap the parts in plastic with little to no air bubbles, it works good. Interesting. So would you say you have to disassemble the toy? Is that a good idea? I'm just wondering, because I'm not really keen on disassembling a toy. Although I have had success, my vintage G1 Wheeljack that I had from my childhood, I played with it hard whenever I was a kid. Whenever I found him as an adult, he was still complete, but very badly yellowed. The stickers were awful. And I don't know if you remember Repro Labels back whenever you still had to cut your own labels. They would send you the Repro Label sheet, but they were not pre-cut. I actually had to meticulously cut those labels myself. I disassembled the whole toy. The plastic parts I actually soaked them in hydrogen peroxide. I soaked them in it. Fortunately, there weren't any paint on those. The die-cast metal parts, I actually sanded off the paint and repainted them white again. And reassembled the toy, put Repro Labels on it. He looked brand spanking new. I was really blown away with the results.
That's heavy modding right
yeah.
there.
Yes, you it was sell, heavy modding.
Yeah, you're living on the edge, man.
And I did sell it. But I did.
Did you tell them?
Yes, I did
tell
them. You
have to annotate these things.
Yes, I did tell this. I did tell the seller that I basically what's the word I'm looking for? Rejuvenated the toy. Yeah, refurbished the toy. And they had me take, you know, extensive photographs of it, and they're like, hey, good job. You know, I'll give you the money for it. So, he come back. He said, sometimes disassembly isn't possible depending on the toy. And that is true, because, you know, you got a lot of a toy with a lot of pins in it. That's a pain in the ass. I know it can be done, but I would rather not deal with pins if at all possible. Yeah. Did we lose Sean?
We lost him a couple minutes ago. He'll be back. So,
yeah, I think he'll be back.
I was kind of under the impression that we were kind of talking about this due to the current climate around the Siege toys, and everyone
was getting
kind
to
of
that.
Flipping out about that. Okay.
So if you want to go ahead, segue into that, because that's we probably need to get onto that anyway.
See, go ahead, Ann, if you kind of had way to talk about it or something specific you wanted to say there.
Well, sure. We had addressed this a couple of weeks ago, hadn't we? With the paint, the battle damage paint.
Yeah, I think a lot of us that was on the show then just said, well, if I don't like it, I'll just take it off. I don't like it, but I'll just leave it on there because
I'll wait for the Platinum Edition repaint that's coming out in 6 months.
Anna, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I mean, I'll probably do the same as you, where I just deal with it, even if I don't like it that much. Although I have seen pictures of people who've removed it from their Optimus and Megatron, and it does look a lot better. Like, it just looks more clean and, you know, plain, but kind of like it should type of thing. But to me, like, it's kind of the same deal as when you buy a figure that you like it, like you like the basic figure, but you don't like the paint on it, or like you don't think there's enough paint on it. So it's kind of something I've been doing for a long time and never actually getting to. Like, you know, I have this, the biggest example to me is good old Skiff. Like, this is a figure that is a really, really cool mold, and I really like it, but I don't think it looks that great on my display shelf because compared to other toys of this quality, it lacks paint.
Yeah, it looks completely unpainted almost.
And for the most part, it is. I mean, there's so much you could do with good paint apps on this guy that you can make him really cool. And I even have a diagram drawn out that was drawn like 4 months ago of how I'm going to paint him, but it hasn't happened. And it's kind of what I feel like is going to happen with Siege for a lot of us, is we're going to get the figures and we're going to say, you know, I'm going to remove this battle damage. I'm going to make it look way cooler and maybe even add some like paint apps. And then they're just going to sit around and feel like, you know, worse figures to us because we had these cool plans, but they don't actually happen.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, those Siege toys, it will be the first line that we've ever actually had where line wide battle damage was the norm. We've had battle damage toys before, but not line wide. You know, I mean, I know we had, once in a while, there'll be like a random figure that'll have battle damage. I know the was it the Toys R Us or the Walmart Starscream, Masterpiece Starscream that had battle damage?
The Walmart one.
Yeah. And then we had the MP01 that had battle damage. Mm-hmm. With the little, it looked like somebody had literally taken a teeny tiny, tiny spray can of black paint and put on like his abdomen and stuff. I don't know. I mean, the jury for me personally on Siege is still out. Maybe I'll like it in hand. I don't like the idea of it, but maybe it won't look as bad. I'm hoping. But
I think it's pretty minimal. Like, I hardly notice it. On some of the figures, people are saying it doesn't have battle damage, even though it does. They have to, like, look for it. But I think it's going to be a pretty common mod of this line of people just taking a Q-tip with alcohol and removing this silver paint that kind of makes no sense. Mm-hmm. So you'll probably see a large contingent of these being sold with the annotation that I've removed the battle damage. And some people in this situation, I think people will probably welcome that more than other mods that we've seen in the past.
Yeah.
But then you run into that fun thing where the person who went through the effort of removing it actually thinks, well, I upgraded the figure. But the person who buying it thinks, well, you modded it, so I want it a little bit cheaper.
It's downgraded.
And it gets into that fun culture where, you know, the person buying says it's cheaper. The person selling it says, I put effort into this damn thing. I want more money for it.
Yeah.
Which is always fun.
That's where the fun begins.
I don't even bother if you see that as something that you want to charge for, I'm not even going to bother. I'll just move on and find it somewhere else. You know, and now if you added paint to it, I could understand that. If you did like Jason Brand does, take things and, or maybe even Pumpkin Gonzo and mod something or turn it into a completely different character. That looks like it's factory. You know, I would pay for that. To me, you know, but
well, those guys have rep as customizers.
Yeah,
it's a little different.
Yeah, if you're just well, Sean does too. But I mean, to me though, knowing that you're buying a customized / modded toy. Is completely different than buying a toy and somebody taking like the chrome pen to something or like Sean said, a Sharpie to something. Now, there are the instances of people buying toys that don't have any paint apps at all, like Anna's Skiff there has absolutely no paint on it, hardly at all. You know, and it just looks boring and bland. Looks very basic. Yeah, I could kind of see giving it a wash to where some of the crevices and everything show a little more. Maybe give him a more leather look. Pop. And I admit, whenever I did my my Combiner Wars Ratchet in the custom class, I gave him a very weathered face. I wanted him to look older, you know, because to me Ratchet is kind of up there with Ironhide in a learned sense, I guess. So what else do you guys think about along these lines? Any comments?
I just wonder if it lowers or raises the chance that people are going to buy something. Like, when I found out about these guys, I got super excited that they were going to be sold because I really like Target Masters and I like the Master Shooter molds. But at the same time, I was going into it with the commitment in my head of, if I'm ever going to display these guys, I have to paint them. Like, I have to do something. I have to at least put a little paint on the face, maybe a little on the chest, the knees or something, just to make it more than just a two-color molded figure. And I feel like when you make a figure that's going to make people do that, you get people wanting to put less money into it, or, you know, being a little reticent to actually make the purchase in the first place. Like, if I have to mod my Optimus to enjoy him, I think that lowers my percent chance of buying him, because there's stuff I can buy, maybe even pay a little more, that I don't have to put any effort into.
Because you're more inclined to take something, open it up, mess with it, and display it. You don't want to have to do anything extra to it.
You know, some days, yeah.
I understand that. Paul, now, I guess you probably have the strongest feelings on modding and toys. You want to kind of go into that a little bit more?
Yeah, it probably comes from being more of a G1 vintage collector and being a bit of a purist. But I mean, the Transformers hobby can be enjoyed in many different ways, and I'm starting to come a little around to the customizing and the painting and the extra work that can be put into the toys. I usually like them as presented, but, you know, for some people it's not enough. Like what Anna's saying, you know, presenting a figure that doesn't have a lot of paint almost invites you to make these additional changes to it. That's not like a universal concept in Transformers. Not everyone wants to do that. Some people do it anyways, but a lot of people are adverse to it. That's why things like those DMK model kits, you know, some people are really standoffish by that sort of thing. Like, what, I got to put it together? It's like, yeah, that's part of the fun. You know, that's what you're supposed to do. And in those situations, there's an open invitation to modify those things. It's more like a model, and no one makes the same. No two people put a model together the same way. But when you buy it packaged, you know, and it's been made 1,000 times the same way, I don't like to mess with that. Especially because, you know, in a world where variations matter and affect value and rarity, like, you know, changing that and making your own variant really throws, you know, puts ripples in the water there. And I don't necessarily like it. Like, you can make a custom, but like, don't try to sell it to me, please. But you can go ahead and try to sell it, just not to me. I'm not the audience for that.
So you're not into buying customs at all? You know,
very, very rarely. I am into something I consider art house toys. Like, usually things that are like very minimally mass produced. When I say mass produced, they're just like, you tried to recreate the same thing 10 or 20 times. I think last episode I was on, I talked about the Sucklord toys, mm-hmm. which are very much in between, you know, a mass produced figure and a one-off custom. It's like a small batch.
Those are so neat.
You know, that's a different beast than you could mod your Sucklord toy too if you wanted, but then, you know, you no longer have the piece that this artist made. I do consider Transformers and most toys to be some sort of a work of art, even if they're mass produced. Even the process by which they get made is an interesting process from start to finish. And I don't know. I like to keep things at meant to be, and by what the company presents in the final form, that's That's what that means to me. Doesn't mean it's against the rules to change it. You know, I like the whole customizing thing. I don't like it when someone tries to say, oh, by the way, I'm selling this and it's worth just as much as it was in the package because I added some orange paint on this section that didn't have it. I'm like, you ruined it now. Sorry.
Yeah. Now,
I'm that a brain killer. Sorry.
No, that's fine. That brings up the other question, though. Some people's method of collecting and reason for collecting, you know, some people collect because it's fun. They want. Well, I think we all collect because it's fun. Let me restate that. But I think a lot of people do it merely for the fun, not because the toys themselves have or maintain any sort of intrinsic value. You know, it's like if I buy this toy and I paid, $40 for this pair of toys here, do I fully expect this set to be worth $40, $45 5 years from now? Yeah, chances are this very same set will be $20, $10 down the road. So it's not going to maintain its value. Or it could go the other way. This, you know, a sleeper set, everybody loves this because this ape face is awesome. Everybody should have this ape face. And then they decide they want it, and the demand for this thing goes through the roof, and 5 years from now, this set's worth $150. But because I modded it by putting an insignia on it, you know, or paint, you know, if I hardly a sin,
yeah. But can totally remove that.
Yeah. But I mean, if I went through and maybe took a Sharpie, because let's be honest, there's not a lot of paint apps on these. I think on, Highbrow here, he's got some yellow on the arrows there on his shoulders and then a little silver paint on his face. And that's it for the entire figure. Oh, and the little black on the rotors down here. That's it for the entire figure. You know, he could probably do for some line work or something on him. And same for the ape face. You know, there's a little more paint on him, but he could do for more paint. Would I care? You know, 5 years from now, or do I care 5 years from now if these toys are modded and the value's ruined? If I don't want these toys 5 years from now and I want to resell them, is the value ruined? Me personally, I see it from Paul's standpoint, where there'll be a select number of people that, you know, they wouldn't be interested in them at all if they've been modded. And then there's people that would clamor for them, you know. Oh, I like what you did there. Or there would be the people like, I want to see it, but I want to see it in person. What do you guys think? Does collecting for value impact whether or not you would mod a toy? Do you collect for value?
I collect for the value in my heart, and every piece is a winner in that regard.
A true Destron.
But with regard to, like, if you go on eBay or whatever and you look, just type in Transformers Custom, there are pieces that have been sitting on eBay at ridiculous prices for years. For years they've been there. These same pieces, pile of heads. There's a Unicron that's painted some such battle damage, whatever. And the prices are just like the sellers expect whatever they're going to get for it, and I hope that they get it. By gum, I really do. But these they don't seem to be selling. So, like, for me, my personal rule, I don't have a problem with, especially with my classics, Henke Universe, Generations, Prime Wars Trilogy, Siege, whatever, these classics guys. I have a rule, like, I can't mod anything until I have it in the package. Like, I buy one, keep it in the package, bin life that sucker, and then I can open up another one and play with it, paint it, put stickers on it, cut pieces off of it, break it, throw it around. I don't care. With love, of course. But yeah, so modding it. But I don't expect to make $1 million off of my now custom piece of plastic. I got a note if I'm going to sell it that, yeah, I did whatever to it. It's obvious that I did whatever to it. Swapped out a head, painted a visor, put some stickers on, added a couple paint apps on some windshields, or get off me, kitty, or headlights or whatever. And yeah,
Massey attack, but, and Massey's not here.
I'm under attack. Actually, my cat's name is Orson, so that's get down. But do I expect to make the money back on these figures? Unless it's something that someone really, really digs, I don't expect anyone to really, really dig what I'm doing except for me. I'm doing it for myself. It's my collection. It's my rule. The end.
I'm going to mention a couple things here in the chat. Benjamin Yoon says, I feel that the final figure is a... Well, and it popped down. I feel that the final figure is sort of an artist's vision of what that character is supposed to be. By modding it, I feel like I'm changing that vision of what the artist or the designer intended for it to be. And then our own Lucas, he commented, and this I'm going to direct this question at Sean since you're mentioned in it. He said, I think customizers like Sean help the value. By me customizing something would hurt it. Sean, do you see is there a vast difference in modding and customizing? Are they one in the same?
I think modding is more or less, you know, cutting plastic, changing things around. I guess it would be mechanically, if you want to call it that. Customizing is more all over paintwork, you know, mechanical work, all kinds of stuff. That's, you know, customizing. yeah. I mean, it's,
so basically, customizing is making a toy look a certain way to fit a certain vision for a specific purpose, whereas modding is, well, I guess tweaks. I guess that would be the same thing.
Well, okay. For example, first edition Prime, his shins never stayed pegged in for some reason. I couldn't figure it out. So I modded him by putting a piece of metal on one side, high-powered magnet on the other side to keep them together. That's a mod. You can't tell from the outside, stand on the shelf.
It's actually kind of genius.
That's a mod. Nobody's going to know what's happened unless you tell them. Kind of like the the ratchets in the hips for Silverbolt for combined mode. Instead of being four ratchets, he made eight ratchets. So that would be another mod. Custom would be just more or less paint job. Change the head around, you know. That's more of a custom because you're both modding and you're...
Well, you made a completely painting. New character out of that, too. Yeah. To me, that's what customizing is making a highly stylized... To me, customizing is making a highly stylized version of an existing character out of that character's toy or an entirely different character out of a toy or multiple toys. Parts to me, modding is taking a toy. Like if I took this highbrow and I modded it to where these wings would stay affixed. That they don't swivel at all. To me, I would be modding it to where they wouldn't move because they get in the way or something. But I'm not changing who this character is. I'm not changing the overall look of the toy. I'm changing the functionality of it. I'm changing, a small part of it. To me, that's the difference between modding. But there's different definitions of it, I guess.
Sean couldn't sell that Huffer as an Ironhide or a... what's the truck dude over off-road guy?
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like, completely different picture. Here's off-road. Well, no, it's now Huffer. It's very clearly Huffer. So you guys have any closing thoughts on modding and customizing and everything?
I'll just throw in one more thing.
Sure.
One of the things I find really interesting is a lot of the third party figures I bought, like I bought Backdraft from MMC a while back. They come with kits to fix them or improve them. Or I have my eye on DX9 Dutch, which is their Optimus. And apparently he had really bad hips. So they include hips with them, replacement hips for you to make them better. And I find it really interesting that you would market a toy with the idea of, well, to make it, you know, what you really want, we're going to include a mod kit for you and have you mod it to make it better. I just find it interesting the way that it can affect value and affect, you know, people's desire to buy it and those types of things. I think that's kind of like the ultimate version of the figure that isn't perfect in box is when the manufacturer actually tells you, well, it isn't perfect in box, but here's how you fix it. I'm giving you the price for it. Good luck.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and it's like
things get very confusing. Things get very confusing in that situation, and I'm not sure how I feel about it. But if it makes a better toy, it makes a better toy. It's great.
Yeah.
Fans Toys does it all the time. Like their Dinobots, they like with later figures, they were including parts for earlier figures. So if you bought your Scoria with this face and this face came with the Grinder figure, and but you did the head swap and now you want to sell just your Scoria, do you swap the head back? Do you note that this piece came from Grinder and it's going to Scoria? How do I? Yeah, there's a lot of just communicate. You got to talk about what you're doing when you're selling stuff. So,
yeah. You know, it's like we alluded to earlier, you know, using Repro Labels upgrade sets, on toys. For the most part, stickers can be removed. So I don't see them as much of a heavy mod as they can appear to be. And a lot of people would argue, well, you know, they can leave sticker residue. Well, you can get Goo Gone and take that stuff off. Just got to be really careful with painted areas. But it all depends on the level of stickering. You know, I know, like, I did a upgrade set for Combiner Wars Wheeljack that was very, very bland and plain. And I got the Repro Label upgrade set, and he looked phenomenal after that. You know, I'm like, I wish that he had had these paint apps. And he actually sold for a higher price because I added that upgrade set. You know, people agreed with that mod. I think is that a type of mod that is more generally accepted than, say, cutting on your toys or custom painting them?
I think it really just depends on the knowledge base of the buyers, you know, like the people that are looking for that done and don't want to do it. If you can find one person that wants that and they find value in it, then rock on. You know, you both are very happy.
Yeah.
But you might be sitting around for a while waiting for some to find that magic person is the thing. It's just difficult.
Yeah. Lucas just said someone forced me to include a replacement part for a different figure with the figure I sold them because it had come with it.
That goes back to like that Fans Toys thing where they include figure parts for previous releases in this figure here. So you have to sell, you know, if you're selling figure X, but it comes with parts for figure B, what in that case constitutes a complete figure?
That person would be mad if he bought figure X and it didn't have the parts for figure B. I understand.
You know what I'm saying, yeah.
I see what you mean. It took me a second to kind of wrap my head around what he was talking about. All right, I think we've kind of beat this horse. It's something that's interesting, but given how the Siege line is actually starting to hit U.S. retail now, I think it's important that we talk about something like this because I'm sure it's going to be debated over and over again for at least the next year or so. You know, let the wars begin. I hate modding. I I hate battle damage. I love battle damage. You know, I'm indifferent. There's going to be that ongoing war online.
For custom Tron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then be wary, you know, after Siege is over or, you know, people starting to get Siege, get a few figures and decide, hey, this line's not for me. Even after they've modded a toy and taken the battle damage off, and then they'll try to resell them, you know, and then we're going to start seeing a lot of people, hey, this doesn't have battle damage.
I want to make a quick note about just the fact that these paint apps are there. We might have touched on it on the other episode when we talked about these, sure, this paint. I'm glad that Hasbro's making the effort to add paint to the figures. That's fantastic. I'm really, really grateful, Hasbro, if you're listening, that you're doing that. It's just this particular type of battle damage, this exercise in it is not for everyone. So, yeah.
I agree with Peter. This is not what I want. I do not want this level of paint. I really like the improvement.
Even if it's small. You know, like again, I'm going to use this highbrow. He's got very, very small amount of paint apps, but it's just enough to make it satisfying. You know, I would like if he had more, but I'm happy with it as it is. You know, I mean, he's got paint on the face, paint on the head, and, you know, a little bit to break up the all gray and all white. You know, it just, you know, it's enough. And it doesn't take much. I mean, sometimes a little paint goes a long way. Sometimes in the Siege line, a lot of paint goes a lot of way. But all right, I think we've kind of talked this one into ground, but there were some good points there. Really appreciate you guys joining us this week, and some great stuff here in the chat. A lot of people made some great comments on it. And if you're listening to the audio version of this podcast later on, feel free to tweet us at TFYLP. Let us know what your thoughts on battle damage is. We'd love to hear from you. Any comments or thoughts along those lines. And as always, if you haven't subscribed to TFYLP, please subscribe and hit that little bell icon on YouTube for notifications for whenever we go live. I'm wanting to try something very soon with Facebook Live. So kind of watch our tftalk.net Facebook page for further updates on that. You know, we got some ideas for that. So check that out. And as always, check out our sponsors. Go to our Patreon and help us out each month. And we will see you next time, everybody. I believe we do have a special guest next week. We were supposed to going to try to get him on this week, but he was not available. So next Saturday, hopefully, knock on wood, we will have a special guest, a musical guest, but no, he won't play music, I don't think. So, yeah. All right, we'll see you next week, everybody.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of tftalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@tfylp.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening, and we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.